Out of the pocket, McCarthy keeps the play alive.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Long throw across the field.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chris Jenkins Jr., want to chime in on the conversation that J.J. McCarthy might not be top five worthy?
I don't know if he's saying that. Respectfully, they're tripping because he's obviously 100% a top five quarterback.
Earlier on the show, Colts general manager Chris Ballard. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, actor and host Dulé Hill. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're sifting our way through draft preview coverage and conversation, and also parsing all the lyrics on Taylor Swift's new double album to see if she referenced us in any way. Nothing yet. I've heard a lot about Travis. Heard a lot about Kim Kardashian.
Oh, really?
Yes. Apparently,
not good.
Apparently, T Swift did a number on Kim.
Oh, interesting.
Uh huh. Nothing about us yet, though.
Hello.
I mean,
that would be shocking.
I mean, why would there be?
Because we've talked quite a bit about Taylor and caped for Taylor Swift in a way that few others have.
I don't know.
So you're looking for a shout out?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Just keeping my ear to the ground.
Okay. Now, ask Xander. I'm sure he's listened to it twice.
Oh, there's no doubt. Although not the second album that dropped 2 hours after he went to sleep.
What do you think he's been doing at school today, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, like you say this like he's not wearing headphones right now in chemistry class.
What do you think he's doing at school today? You know, back in the day, once we went to school, we were out of the mix. There was no way, like the rest of the world. Like, if the only way we'd find out anything that was going on outside of the school is if there was a fire drill.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. If we actually stood outside.
Not no more.
Not anymore. Not anymore. I almost was thinking of texting him to say, did you hear that she dropped the other album? And I'd get two things back. One, which is like, yeah, of course, I heard that, Dad. And the other one would be like an influx of texts from him that I'm like, oh, damn it. He should be, like, I'm the one who now took him out of his schoolwork.
It's Friday.
The phone should be away. Dude, you got time. You,
it's Friday.
You got to buckle down.
Over.
You got to start like, buckling down like for Cage, man.
Buckle down what? I'm going to be like Caleb Williams' dad.
Is that right?
We have a plan.
Getting ready for the first round selection? In which sport?
Probably baseball at this point.
Really?
Maybe some golf.
Do you have any idea of the travel ball schedule? Your guy, Matt Leinart, had a very, very funny Instagram reel.
About travel ball?
Learning a travel ball schedule. Like his off camera, you could hear the voice of somebody through a Zoom because a parent is listening to the coach through the Zoom. And he's just like, yeah, we just made a tournament in Cuba, you know, and if we advance, we're taking off tomorrow for Honduras. And if we advance, you know, we're going to go to Cuba. Uh-huh. And then if we win that, then we get a first round bye into Croatia, which is because you're driving. Get ready, pal.
Travel ball, no bueno. Like play other sports.
Sir, for Cage to make. This sort of stuff.
You don't have to play travel ball.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
You don't want to burnt out at 8. Like, what are we doing? Parents are part of the problem, and travel ball is part of the problem.
Cage was not born in San Pedro de Encino. Okay? All right? You got to work at it. He's not going to hit his way off the island just because he's a natural talent, just because he's crushing in T-ball right now.
He's bigger than everybody else.
Okay. Hey,
I was once littler, smaller than everybody else.
Littler,
smaller. So that can even out in some.
There you go. You look know. At you now.
Yeah. Big in Japan.
Is that what you are? B-I-G, I thought you'd go G-A-M. You're a grown ass man.
You know,
as I referred
Japan,
to Chris
South
Jenkins
Korea,
yesterday.
Though, they know me up in South Korea. Hey, is what I'm saying.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rich.
Guys. You know, again, and we'll play some of this stuff that Susie and Amy Trask got out of Daniel Jeremiah on the What the Football podcast later on in this hour. But Daniel Jeremiah said the draft starts with the Arizona Cardinals at 4 and what they're going to do.
Ooh.
Which means he believes what I believe. It's going to be quarterback, and nobody's trading out. Bears are going to take Caleb.
Bears.
Washington's taking Jaden Daniels. And then Drake May's going to be a New England Patriot.
Boom.
Guy sounds like Philip Rivers is going to go there with his ostrich boots from North Carolina and start going to Davio's.
No bolo ties.
What's going on?
No bolo ties.
Right.
Bolo ties were hitting in the late 90s.
No bolo ties, less kids.
Take the bolo. But
what's he going to do about that?
Is that the North Shore? You go to the what do you, take the bolo tie? Where do you take the bolo tie? Quincy?
Quincy?
Bolo ties in Quincy?
The Chinese place.
By the way, that's a great Taylor Swift drop, bolo ties in Quincy. At any rate, maybe not just the Arizona Cardinals as an inflection point, because I think the Cardinals have 11 picks, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Marvin Harrison.
That's right. You take one of those picks and you take Marvin Harrison. And then that leaves the Los Angeles Chargers on the clock. And you know, Tom Pelissero is going to be joining us shortly and has spoken to tons of executives about all of these quarterbacks. And it sure sounds like the first three are going to be quarterbacks. And then I don't know. I don't know, man. Is J.J. McCarthy going to be fourth overall? And Jim Harbaugh has been saying he should be first overall. And part of that is because he's Jim, you know, Jim's his spirit animal. And part of that also be like, hey, Chargers would love to have the fifth overall pick, and it's quarterback, 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 quarterback. We just hung up on a Zoom or hit end on a Zoom with the GM of the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard. He said, if you can make that happen, five quarterbacks in the top, you know, 11, 12, or 13. Okay. He goes, I'll come on your show anytime, because he wants as many quarterbacks taken, because that means every
– push them down.
Yeah, every prospect that's not a quarterback gets pushed down closer to his 15th overall and closer for him to trade up for. So you got the Chargers sitting there thinking, bring it on. First overall pick, not as a quarterback in this draft, we can have Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze or Brock Bowers or any of the offensive linemen. Bring it on. And Joe Ortiz, the general manager new to the Los Angeles Chargers, basically said, this team that I heard in the combine couldn't wait to trade out of the pick is now thinking, you better come correct. Otherwise, we're choosing.
The benchmark as far as return that you need to get in order to pass on one.
Sure. There's certainly, it's too good of a deal because of what you're getting back. Yeah. They have to make it attractive for us to move away from those players. You know, the whole, it's a fair trade, it's a wash. I don't think that's a trade that we're interested in.
I used air quotes for it's a fair trade. And what I think, what that means is, mm-hmm. you know, the old Jimmy Johnson chart.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a chart that Jimmy made up years ago that a lot of general managers and scouts apparently use that, all right, well, fifth overall pick is equivalent to this pick and that pick and that pick. And everybody agrees that that's what it means on the chart. I that's what they consider a fair trade. And he used air quotes like, you better punch it up if you want the Chargers' fifth overall pick, certainly if it's four quarterbacks going in a row.
Right.
Or three quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison. You better come correct. Now, I don't think they're going to choose Joe Alt. A lot of people are saying, because Jim loves offensive linemen. Rashawn Slater's a left tackle. That's the guy. He's an all-pro. You don't need a left tackle, and that's what Joe Alt is. I mean, we were even talking about Daniel Jeremiah, again, who was on What the Football with Susie and Amy. We were talking about this with him at the combine, that Alt, as he's going through his offensive lineman drills, whenever he was asked to have his feet as if he was a right tackle, he looked way different.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. And did you see they added J.K. Dobbins to the mix of Gus Edwards as well?
I saw that.
And the whole concept that, oh, yeah, Jim's not going to take an Ohio State guy in Marvin Harrison. He just signed J.K. Dobbins, who, by the way, scored 6 touchdowns on Michigan in one game against Jim Harbaugh.
Wow. I'm looking at these signings from the Justin Herbert perspective, where do you think he's wondering, like, what are we doing? You know, we got these Ravens running backs who have been hurt recently. We got rid of my favorite wide receiver and my favorite tight end, and we let my other favorite wide receiver go, and now we're talking about trading the pick and taking a lineman. Like, you just paid me. I'm an MVP candidate every single year.
All right.
What are we doing?
All right. Two things. First of all, J.K. Dobbins, it felt like it was 6 touchdowns. It was 4 touchdowns and 211 yards and 31 carries in his last game against Michigan.
How many years ago was that?
2019. Last time that Ohio State beat Michigan.
That was healthy knees ago.
And number two, is, let me just say this. I totally understand what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. And I understand a lot of Chargers fans are saying that about what's happening. Two things. Let's get through the draft first.
Obviously fair, but let's get through the draft. Kind of wondering, like, first, okay, what are we doing?
No, if I'm Justin Herbert, I would be like, okay, you know, I know my last coach was a quarterback in college too, but this guy's a different story about being a quarterback in college and being a quarterback in the pros and being a guy who coached Andrew Luck and then looked Alex Smith in the face and say, sorry, we're going with Kaepernick. And then did what he's done with J.J. McCarthy now. And I understand that there were some fallow points in between. But I would, if I'm Justin Herbert, trust Jim's way of doing things, that maybe, just maybe, the run game can be supportive, that the run game can actually grind stuff out, that the run game can actually lead to an easier way for him to find his targets down the field, that he could possibly be part of the run game if they so choose. And then just one other thing. This may be unfair, but I'll say it anyway. How's it worked out otherwise for Justin? How's it worked out?
I mean,
how's it worked out otherwise?
Worked out in what?
For him, personally and professionally.
Well, he's put up a lot of big numbers.
Enough to get paid.
And he's gotten paid.
But what? So he's been paid.
Which has shown him he's the franchise.
What next? Let's try it a different way.
Of what? Just handing it off 40 times?
No, that Keenan Allen, terrific, sublime, okay, can maybe go to the Hall of Fame one day, get it. Mike Williams, really good, can stretch the field. As a Jet fan now, I'm hoping he stays healthy. I get it.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's try a different way. How about a different way? Where most likely, because of this coach, the crazy chargering stuff ain't going to happen. All right? And the fourth down decisions that are placed in front aren't going to be some whacked out scenario. And that those things will get removed. A run game will be one of the reasons why it's removed, because you can actually move the ball on the ground. And let's see what happens with Jim bringing in a fullback and doing the Jim Harbaugh thing and see how that works out for Justin Herbert. I totally get what you're saying. I totally understand why Chargers fans might be like, well, We didn't sign up for that. I mean, we signed up for everything else with Jim coming and everything else. We didn't sign up for
90 Smash Mouth. Like,
maybe
that's not today's game.
Well, the Ravens took it to the one seed last year, and then when it came down to it, ran into Mahomes, and their problem is they run into Mahomes twice, and they can't stop Travis Kelce. I bet you that would change too. I bet you Jim's going to do a better job of covering Travis Kelce. Put it all together. Try something different. You know, you keep bashing your head against the chargering wall as much as you do. Let's try something different and see how it works before it's criticized. And also, let's see how they do in the draft before you criticize. But I think it's valid what you say. Let's take a break. What do all the unnamed general managers and scouts and coordinators and coaches think about the quarterback class? Tom Pelissero knows. He spoke to them all. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Tom Pelissero. Tommy P is about to join us right here. I mean, it's an unnamed coaching scouts season right here. Unnamed. That's why we get him named. Daniel Jeremiah on with What the Football and Chris Ballard on with us. That's we name them. We name them. Otherwise, that, you know what? I guess you get the truth out of these guys, but
when they're unnamed, yeah.
But when you're unnamed, you could say, "Oh, I would definitely take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams." All right.
Well, except that Dan Orlovsky and Lewis Riddick have been saying that for months.
No, I understand that, and that may be the evaluation. But and we have both scheduled to appear with us hopefully next week in Detroit. I mean, one of them, Lewis, will be before the pick, and then Dan afterwards. I mean, Ryan Poles, after Caleb does what he's done and looks the way that he looks and has the comp the way that he's been comped.
And he takes Jaden Daniels instead?
You can't. I mean, after you took your organization, it's not him, but they took Trubisky instead. And Mahomes has become Mahomes. For real.
Where would
that be? That's factored in. You have to factor
that
in.
Where would that be on shocking draft moments? Number one?
Oh, yeah. Like, name me another one.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Mario Williams going number one?
No, but that we knew was Mario Williams was, and Schefter's joining us next week too. He's the one who broke that. He and I were talking about that the other day, about the day before the draft. He said it was kind of done a few days before. Mario Williams instead of Reggie Bush,
but taking
a defensive lineman over a running back is,
or Vince Young, who's a hometown kid.
I get it. But you have to factor all this stuff in. Yeah. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tom Pelissero, once again, 13,000 words, I believe, talking to a bunch of unnamed general managers and coaches and coordinators and scouts about this year's quarterback class on NFL.com and on his Twitter feed. The link is sitting right there for you to take it in. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Tom?
Rich, I get one tome a year. It is a tad time-consuming, including through the editorial process, making sure that no naughty words slip through. Ah. I'm told one very briefly. It was very close to getting out there on the internet, but they caught it the last second. Our guys, Olivon Puri and Gennaro Felice and those guys do a great job editing the thing down. So it's always fascinating talking to as many teams, coaches, executives, scouts, as I possibly can. And this is a really unique quarterback class where, you know, there's certain guys who have fans and, you know, those same players, some people don't believe in them, but there's 5, 6, 7 guys that people see as potential starting quarterbacks in the NFL. History would tell you we're not going to get 5, 6, 7 starting quarterbacks in all likelihood, but certainly there's going to be a lot of interesting potential movement in those top 40 picks or so, and we'll see how many guys come off the board.
All right, so let's walk through it here. I did my best to get through most of the 13,000 words, Tom, and obviously you found a consensus that Caleb Williams is worthy of being the first overall pick in this draft. And in terms of that section, there was one piece that jumped out at me. And it had nothing to do with the tape. It had to do with the contract for Caleb Williams. And that is potentially going to take some doing because of the way he's approached the draft being totally unconventional and how that might actually leak into the contract. Tom?
Well, let's zoom out here for a second.
Please.
So Caleb Williams, from the time that he was like 10 years old, and his dad, Carl, who's a successful businessman, he's worked in the athletic training space, they've had a singular goal. Let's get this guy in a position where he's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. They have done that by doing it their own way, and they haven't been concerned about well, this isn't how other people would do things. You look selfish. They don't care. They're going to make the right decisions for Caleb Williams. So through the course of this process, you've seen Caleb has not had a traditional agent. He's had the team of advisors and attorneys and other people who have guided this process for him. He paused his pre-draft training, went to Tokyo with his girlfriend on a vacation for a while. He didn't do the medical testing that is standardized and 99.999% of guys have gone through through the years. He only took one visit, and that was to the Bears. And so there's every reason to believe, based upon the history here, that things might end up being interesting in the contract process as well. It's been reported that his dad, Carl Williams, has in the past expressed to people that potentially equity in a team would be something that they would be interested in. The NFL a year or so ago passed a bylaw in which it says you can't have a player or any other employee owning equity in a team, which I can't tell you what the origins of that rule were, Rich, but certainly it seemed like it was a preemptive type of a thing for people like Caleb Williams or other players coming into the league who might make those types of demands. The bottom line is this: contracts have been slotted for rookies since 2011. There's not a lot of wiggle room. We know that there have been contracts that have gotten hung up on offset language, bonus payment structure, and things like that. But if you just go through everything that Caleb and his team have done here, you'd say nothing is just going to happen the normal course of business. It's not just going to be they're going to work out the offset language and get the thing done a few days before training camp. I'm not saying there's a holdout or anything else. It's just every part of this process has been a little bit different for Caleb. I think if you go back to the start of the process, I know the Bears would not have been the team that they were targeting to go to here, but Chicago owned that number one pick. They've had a lot of very frank and honest and positive discussions between Caleb Williams' team and the Bears. What Caleb and his people want to make sure is that you've got the infrastructure, the resources, the investment to let him go out there and chase the next goal, which is win a whole bunch of Super Bowls, be the greatest of all time. What have the Bears done in this offseason? They went out and got an offensive coordinator that they think is a fit in Shane Waldron, who's worked with different styles of quarterbacks. They retained Chris Morgan, who's one of the top offensive line coaches I think can help the run game. They signed DeAndre Swift. They traded for Keenan Allen. They really signaled to Caleb, you're our guy, we're all in, by trading Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick. When they did, my understanding is the sides are in a good place right now. When he came in for the visit, they had him go out to dinner with some of the veteran players. Those guys, I'm told, were really impressed with Caleb as well. All indications are, barring something going totally haywire here, he's going to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. What takes place, really, not just through this offseason and getting the contract done, but in his career? He's going to do things his own way. It's worked for him to this point. He's about to check the box as the number one overall pick, and now it's on to the next goal.
And in terms of moving on, let's move on to the next gentleman on your list. And the consensus, I'm talking to all of the scouts and coaches and executives. How many people did you speak to, by the way, the grand total? You got one, a number?
I would fairly say dozens. I've got a spreadsheet somewhere where I was tracking this for myself. I would say well over half the teams are represented through the quotes in the story. And certainly tried to have a variety of whether it's coordinators, position coaches, head coaches, GMs, area scouts, personnel directors.
Right.
The full gamut.
Okay, and you found a couple that would have taken Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams if they had the choice? You found some?
Yeah, and of course, it's easier to say when you're a scout or you're a personnel person, well, I would take this guy, because you're not the one putting your name on it. If you do something that out of the box, I mean, if Ryan Poles tomorrow walks into the room and says, hey, I think we're going to take Jaden Daniels, there'd be a lot of people taken aback, to say nothing of what we would think, to say nothing of what the public would think. I actually asked some general managers about this, Rich, and it was really interesting about, do you have a choice here? If you were Ryan Poles, would you even have the option to do the other thing? And the general response I got was, well, you have to do the right thing. Like, there's an argument. There are people in several different buildings, I can tell you, who would say Jaden Daniels, the complete product, the thrower, the productivity, the run element, they would lean in that direction. It's a different thing to actually turn in that card. They're also Drake May fans. Some people would put him as the number two quarterback in this draft. J.J. McCarthy certainly has fans as well. But I would say the majority, and the way that I had it ranked, was Jaden Daniels at number two. Somebody who, if you go back to where he was at, at Arizona State, and the way that things ended there, people were going to have like a day two type of a grade, like third round pick on Jaden Daniels. But he really, remember when I talked to, put in the time and made himself a better quarterback. They do a lot of virtual reality training at LSU. He really embraced that. He studied. He did put on weight. There's still, you know, the most common thing that you hear in terms of the critiques or the concerns with Jaden Daniels are, you know, 2 years ago, he weighed in, this was verified, a buck 90, and he takes hellacious hits. If you've seen the edit that's been going around social media, Rich, of the hits on Jaden Daniels set to the Looney Tunes music, it's pretty good. It's
I have not seen that. I have not seen that. However, the quote on this particular red flag involving Jaden Daniels that jumped out at me from your 13,000 words is you quoted an NFL executive talking about his skinny body. Quote, he has a borderline Merton Hanks neck. That one jumped out at me, Tom.
I was just glad I got that one through the editors, Rich. You never know if a reference is too obscure.
No, I got
Merton Hanks was like 30 years ago, but you and I were both on the same page. And as soon as that was said, I was like, I know exactly what that looks like. Listen, he's a narrow framed type of an individual. I mean, you talk to people at Arizona State. I know, you know, one of the issues was why can't he put on weight? Is it, you know, there was talk about this, he needed, you know, his own nutrition program. There's people who thought, you know, it was a commitment thing. But, you know, listen, he did bulk up. He showed up at Pro Day at 210, which was something that, you know, was positive in scouts' minds. But it's still, he's not the biggest guy. You're going to have to make adjustments to your play style. And one coordinator I talked to said, you know, look at Anthony Richardson. Jaden Daniels takes hits like Anthony Richardson, and Anthony Richardson is a huge guy. He's 6'5 and like 235 pounds, and he got hurt 3 times in 4 games last season. Cam Newton was the MVP in 2015. He was out of the league 5 years later because just the hits add up, and those are much larger individuals. And so, yeah, I mean, you're going to need him to get down. You're going to need him to, you know, be able to curb it. So there's always Lamar Jackson comparisons a little bit to Jaden Daniels, even though for what scouts and coaches say, he's a little bit more straight line. But Lamar has had this remarkable knack through his career. He's never really taken the big hit. Kyler Murray has the same thing where Russell Wilson, these guys have figured out how to get down at the right moment, how to not take yards off the table, but to get down, don't take that hit. Jaden Daniels is going to be getting hit by bigger, faster, stronger people in the NFL. You're going to have to work with them on that and emphasize it, but that's a big part of his game. He's also a really, really talented passer, and some people think just in terms of pure passing ability, not arm strength, Rich, some people put Jaden Daniels as the most talented passer in this draft.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show and speaking to these dozens of unnamed executives and scouts and coaches. It does appear, once again, the consensus on Drake May is huge upside, but if you can sit him in 2024, you should. And that's why you found which team to be the perfect fit for him, consensus-wise then, Tom?
New England was the team that kept coming up because, you know, when you're playing in the AFC East, you look through the course of time, whether it's Tom Brady, Josh Allen, you probably want a bigger, stronger type of a quarterback who in the elements, when it gets tough, is going to be able to withstand, you know, playing in that division. Also, they got Jacoby Brissett. They're not a team that's sitting there going, we got a chance to win right now. You're maybe going to have a little bit less pressure on Drake May to get onto the field. I talked to one person who's very close with Drake May who said to me, listen, this is the same guy who, you know, he grew up with older brothers. One of them won a basketball national title at North Carolina. One won a baseball national title at Florida. His dad was an athlete. Like, this is a guy who is used to being the young kid in the family, and he gets beat 100 times in a row at ping pong or pickleball or whatever. And it's like, all right, serve it up. Let's go one more time. So it's not that getting out there too soon is going to break him mentally, or there's concerns about that. Everybody says in terms of like the makeup and who he is, the person you're getting, the lineage with the athletic family, all that stuff's good. It's just, we've seen a lot of talented passers who they go into the wrong situation and it just can set them back. You saw that last year with Bryce Young, frankly, going into Carolina where he didn't have the best group around him. He didn't necessarily have the right fit from a schematic perspective, a coaching perspective around him. And I would fully anticipate Bryce Young's another guy who's going to bounce back this year mentally and is going to come back and do it. But he did not look like the same guy. He looked like he was shell-shocked through the course of last season. That's what you don't want to have and set somebody's development behind. I had one head coach who knows quarterbacks really well, and he said, Drake May is Jordan Love. You got to sit him for 2-3 years. When you do, when he learns all this stuff, because he's also coming from that North Carolina offense that does not prepare guys or the NFL. We've seen it with, you know, the transition for Sam Howell a couple of years ago. Every quarterback who comes out of that system, they just don't have a lot of NFL stuff that they can lean on here. So giving him that time, letting him develop, not putting the pressure on. We all know, Rich, that you start out 1-4 and the fans and the media start clamoring and there's pressure on everybody. But at least go into a place where Jacoby Brissett's a known commodity. He's been there before. He's probably your starter in 2024. That would make sense. And part of the drama of this draft is, what does Washington do at number two? I think after that group visit that they had, there's a lot of people within the league who think Jaden Daniels will be the pick. But if it were Drake May, what does New England do at that point? Because there would be teams looking to come up the board and go get Jaden Daniels.
And what's your reporting on what happened there at the Prospectapalooza for at Washington? Did it, is it really going to come down to whether Drake May outdrove Jaden Daniels at Topgolf? Is that the way it's going to come down to it?
There are different teams that have always done these group visits. I know the Vikings under Rick Spielman for years brought in all their 30 visits at once. Yeah. 49ers done group visits, and that's where Adam Peters, the general manager, comes from. So that's an idea he kind of took and applied there. I don't remember a time, though, that four of the guys there are quarterbacks.
Crazy.
And you're sitting on the number two overall pick. You also have to remember, you know, these guys had time at the combine. They've obviously reviewed all the tape. Some of the players, you know, like Michael Penix, was at the Senior Bowl. You have dinners around the pro days. You have a lot of different ways that you can be able to get time with them.
It's not like they don't know each other, Tom. It's just that you got one last swing at it, you know. And I found it interesting that the prospects were willing to play along. That perhaps they didn't sit down and go, you know, or maybe they did have a confab. These prospects with their agents and the representatives, they sit there and go, well, you can maybe schedule a one-on-one straight up conventional top 30 visit as your last with a team that might not really be interested in you or might not have the firepower to come up to draft you or might not be there. Or do you go along with what the Commanders want to do and you got to be in it to win it? You got to buy that Powerball ticket. By going into this mosh pit with the rest of the guys, you know?
Well, I think this too, Rich. If this were a situation, let's say Chicago tried to do this. Hey, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix, come on in. We're going to have all you guys and Caleb there at once. You're probably going to have a bunch of guys going, well, what are we really doing here? You're taking Caleb Williams. With Washington, part of the dynamic is there really is uncertainty at minimum within the league. And I know Adam Peters said internally they're getting close. You've got a lot of voices involved in that process from Josh Harris, the new owner. Bob Myers has been a part of this process. Magic Johnson's in the process. Obviously, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury. You're trying to work toward finalizing what you're going to do. But I do know this. There are fans of Drake May and have been through the course of the process. Certainly, Jaden Daniels is so dynamic. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. He's got fans there. And there were people coming out of the Washington Pro Day, and I believe we talked about this, Rich, on the show, who were really intrigued by J.J. McCarthy. I know we haven't gotten to J.J. yet, Rich, and you watched as much of him as anybody in the world. I thought it was really interesting, having done these stories for years and talking to everybody, we can all laugh about the pro day thing and what are you really going to learn you didn't already know from somebody throwing 70 routes on air with no defense out there. But J.J. McCarthy, the response to that pro day is as strong as I can remember for anyone since maybe like Sam Bradford. It was that good. And I think that there were two factors in this. One of them was people had not seen JJ throw live in a lot of cases. And because Michigan had so many players, they've got, you know, whatever, 20 plus draft eligible guys there. Head coaches were there. Coordinators were there. Position coaches were there. A bunch of people who probably hadn't studied a ton of JJ McCarthy on tape, they all walked away going, man, his arm is a lot better. I had one head coach say to me, like, I didn't know JJ could roll like that. I mean, he really impressed people in person, but also because the tape, because he didn't throw as much, you didn't see him make all the throws. Some of the critiques of McCarthy are, well, you're running this run dominant type of an offense. It's a lot of play action. There's guys who are wide open. It seems like at times he locks in onto that one guy and he gets away with it a little bit because you're facing Big Ten teams, and you may not be facing the same types of DBs that you will be in the NFL. So to get him in that space and actually just see him make those throws, there were things that they saw there, deep shots too, you really hadn't seen on tape. So there were people who walked away, and certainly Washington people who walked away too, thinking at minimum, we really got to think hard about this. Everybody's been talking about Caleb, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels forever. JJ's the guy who I think realistically, if you had polled people within the league going to this season, there's no way people would have thought we were talking about him as a potential, if not certain, top 10, maybe top 5 pick in the NFL. He's done enough through the course of the process. You know, obviously on the field, the winner, the moxie, the competitor, all that stuff's good. But the way that he interviewed, I was told he was brilliant when they got him in there. He really crushed the pre-draft process. That included the pro day. And at least if you're Washington or any team drafting up at the top, I had one head coach who I really trust who, again, knows quarterbacks and told me if I were Chicago this week, I'd be bringing in Caleb and JJ and grinding the bleep out of both of them because there's not enough evidence to say Caleb's clearly the guy. That's how much of an impression JJ made on a lot of people within the league, and that's why in all likelihood he's going to go sooner than anybody would have thought if he had him line up these quarterbacks back in September.
Yeah, I screen grabbed that very quote. I was going to bring it up, but you led yourself right to it. A head coach with a strong track record on quarterbacks, so clearly it's not a Jets head coach. Listen, Michael Penix Jr., sir, what do you think about the consensus here? It was the first, second grade. You have him listed in your piece as 1-2, rounds 1-2. And Peter Schrager, our colleague on Good Morning Football, in his mock, had him falling completely out of the first round. What's your sense speaking to all these folks and your ear to the ground about what's going to happen with Penix 1 week from today? Is he still on the board, you think?
Michael Penix might be the most polarizing quarterback prospect, Rich. I'd say J.J., is polarizing to a certain degree, but Penix, I had, and you can find that first quote on Michael Penix. It's another good one. I'd love to hear your dramatic read of it, but there are people who will say he is the number two quarterback in this class. And I had other people who ranked him seventh, several people behind Spencer Rattler. Huh. With Michael Penix, he's unbelievable when he's playing on time. And we all saw that through the course of last season, assuming that he stayed up late enough to see some of those Washington games when it's a clean pocket and he is in rhythm. He's really, really good. And everybody says he's really smart. He picks up on offense. I had one, I think it was a coach who told me, like, he can find guys. He's one of those quarterbacks who, when somebody pops open, he can find them with his eyes, which might sound like the dumbest thing ever, but there are guys who are just strictly going on progression. Penix is also instinctive. He does get through the progressions. He can process, but also he has the instincts to kind of figure out where that open guy is going to be. The concern with Penix is when it's not clean in the pocket, when he has to make plays off schedule, you're not entirely certain what's going to happen. He had a grand total of 8 rushing yards last season. His testing numbers were pretty good, which leads you to believe is part of it not an inability to be mobile, but a lack of want to be mobile. Because listen, the guy had 4 consecutive season-ending injuries. He's had 2 ACLs. He's had a shoulder. The knee got checked out. I would anticipate on a lot of boards he has a lower medical grade because 2 ACLs just creates a lot of a higher risk factor. And he's had the other injuries, but he's been healthy over the last 2 years here. It's nothing from what I've been told, and I've spoken to GMs, I've spoken to others about it. There's nothing in Penix's report that's going to cause him to fail a physical. But there's 32 teams, 32 doctors, 32 degrees of risk tolerance. And Penix is certainly going to be in that category, which brings us to the quote that I was going to have you read there, Rich. But the coaches are less concerned about that. This is much more from a coaching perspective with Penix about fit. If I had to guess to answer your question, Rich, I'd say, yes, he comes off the board in round one. But if he slides into round two, that wouldn't stun me at all.
And you have Bo Nix, rounds 1 and 2 being projected there as well. So let's just brass tacks it here since I'm kind enough to have you here for 20 minutes chopping this thing up. You've got the top 3 teams, right? And then you got the basically top 3 teams in the second tier from 11 to 20. You got 11, 12, and 13. You got Vikings, Broncos, Raiders. Those are all the quarterback needy teams that you pretty much can peg as quarterback needy teams, unless you throw the Giants in there. So which one of these teams is going to be left without a quarterback, do you think, in the first round? Give me the final number of it, because you can take 3 of them out. You know, we're going to go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And then it's somebody, you know, either somebody's going to trade up for McCarthy or the Giants will have him drop there. And then that'll be a big moment at 6 to see if he goes there. Which one do you think winds up out of those seven teams without a quarterback? Could be the Giants. You heard Joe Shane say on Thursday they don't need to take one. So what do you think? What do you think?
The primary trade-up teams, when other teams have been projecting it, because you're going to get a lot of information, obviously, Rich, from teams like I do about players mm-hmm. and where people see them and what other teams are going to do. No one's going to give you a really direct answer of what they're going to do themselves. So I would say other teams through the process have believed the two main threats to trade-up are the Giants and the Vikings. The Raiders also would be on that list, but that's going to be more targeted. And the feeling within the league is the only way they would trade up is if Jaden Daniels is still on the board at number three, which a lot of people right now think he's going to be gone at number two. You mentioned the Broncos. My personal opinion, just knowing where they're at from a roster perspective, knowing kind of what people within the league think, I would think that they're a bigger threat to trade back than to trade up. They could certainly surprise me. Sean Payton has traded up in the first round or into the first round in the past year. But if I'm guessing, I'd say they're more likely to trade back. A lot of people think Bo Nix potentially would be a fit there, and you don't need to go up and get him. For the Vikings, they certainly have analyzed every different scenario. And I thought you actually got a little bit of truth serum from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM, the other day when he said, you know, there's several guys that they really like up at the top, and there's a couple other guys that they really like at certain value points. And I think that that's a reflection of, listen, if you asked everybody, the quarterbacks, their agents, where do you want your guy to go? You know, Chicago's built a really nice situation there for Caleb Williams. He's stepping into a really good situation. But a lot of people would say, I'd love my guy to go to Minnesota and play with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and have Kevin O'Connell calling the plays and Brian Flores running the defense. That's a pretty good spot to be in here. And they may think, based on Kevin O'Connell's history here, that they can play with different types of guys. I mean, you just heard the breakdown I gave you on Michael Penix, a guy who, when it's clean, when he's in rhythm, he's really, really good. When it breaks down, you don't totally know what's going to happen. That kind of sounds like Kirk Cousins, who's been playing for the Vikings for the past 7 years. They won a bunch of games, just got $45 million a year from the Atlanta Falcons. So you could play with a Penix in Minnesota. You could play with a Bo Nix, who, you know, with Nix, it's really about what's the upside, because, you know, he was on the full-on Van Wilder plan. He started 61 nice. College games at several different places. You know, a lot of his passes, two-thirds of his completions almost last year within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, he set the completion percentage record, but it was influenced by this quick hit, RPO type of a passing game. But everybody says if you get him around really good weapons, he could be a caretaker type of guy. He's regarded by a lot of people within the league as maybe a two, maybe upside to like a mid-tier type of a starter. But if you're in Minnesota, you're going, well, we got Jefferson and Addison and Kevin O'Connell. They'll elevate the level of the quarterback. I could see that being a fit. I certainly could see JJ being a fit. Drake May makes sense. You can make the argument Jaden Daniels, he plays a little bit different style in terms of the run element. But we saw Josh Dobbs running around for a few games there before the Pastrnak train ran out of gas. So I think the Minnesota's got a lot of different options here. Trading up absolutely is an option. But Washington, even before Adam Peters said it publicly yesterday, Washington had been putting out signals since going back to the combine that, listen, we're probably going to stay put and take a guy. New England has been much more open, but to the extent that anybody's expecting that, okay, New England's definitely moving, I would guess, Rich, I would make an educated guess here. Nothing's firm. Different things can happen. But I would bet that if New England makes a trade for number three, it happens on the clock Thursday night in Detroit. Because until they know who goes at number two, number one, they don't know who's going to trade in to number three. And number two, they don't know if their guy potentially might be the one who's sitting for them to take.
So which of those teams walks away, your best guess? I know you're not usually in the crystal ball business, but which one comes away with no quarterbacks after Thursday night? You could say multiple.
I think
which ones?
I would think, based on the fact that there are other teams such as Minnesota that are willing to trade up and get ahead of the Giants, I would say the Giants, unless they make a move up, will be the team that most likely gets beat. Okay. It's going to be a matter of what's the value point at which the Vikings would make a move up if it's not for a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May. If it's for J.J. McCarthy, are they willing to go up to number four or perhaps number five, where Jim Harbaugh might love the idea of somebody trading up and taking McCarthy at number five and he gets more picks to build that thing out there in L.A.? It's certainly a possibility. Or they might feel like, you know what, we'll roll the dice and let's see if JJ comes to us at number 11. All those options are on the table. But if I had to guess, to answer your question, I'd say it's the Giants.
All right, Tom. For everybody, everyone should read this. Go to Tom's Twitter feed, at Tom Pelissero, or NFL.com to check out this. And since we just dove straight into it, I guess we should say goodbye the way we normally bring him in. Guys, should we do that?
Yeah.
All right, Tommy.
Hey, I didn't know about him. Hey.
See you in Detroit, Tom. We'll see you in Detroit. Take care, Tom. Oh, yeah, baby. So here it goes. All right, we'll take a quick break. Soundbite of the year in sports. We come back. This is not, and this is not an oversell.
It's not.
Soundbite of the year in sports. That's next. Okay. Hour three, Dooley Hill in studio. Taking a break. Back in a sec.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Man, so much to talk about from what Tom just said. And it just confirms what everybody's been saying. And I think what we're going to see is Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Penix. That's the five in order. Unless Bo Nix pops above Penix. Wouldn't that be the only one that's different in the order?
Yeah,
Penix drops out, Nix goes fifth.
Yeah.
The only question is, where does McCarthy go? Because the first three go three. Right. I think we're seeing the solve here to the puzzle.
Yeah, I know Peter Schrager left Penix out of his mock draft
round,
but
he sure did.
Does someone move back up to get that extra year of control like the Ravens did with Lamar a few years ago?
Because if you don't have that extra year of control and the kid bursts,
right,
look at Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
He got paid. That's basically the way it's going to look, I think.
For QBs, yeah, I think so. And then just how many wide receivers end up going in the first round?
Correct.
Is it five, six? You know, we don't know.
Right.
So,
and did the Cowboys take Spencer Rattler when it's time to start?
Exactly.
Just want to make sure you're there.
He's just like stewing.
Nope. Nope.
TJ only wants Mims in the first round. That's all you
That's
care
it.
About. That's all you want.
Well, I'd like to be proven right. You know, that
it'll be great. It'll be a great show 1 week from today.
Oh, baby,
there we go. Six.
Look,
two new.
I don't know, but you guys
four re-signed. Six.
I read that and I see championship. I got to be honest with you. Okay. That's what I see.
This might be the funniest Photoshop of all time.
Smith really outdid himself on this one.
That's Jerry championship.
Lewis. Jerry Jones. Just
I don't late at night. Late night Jerry.
So you guys see that six as an indicator of the players we've signed.
Super Bowl rings.
I see
okay,
it.
Great. Okay.
Rings.
Yeah, I get it.
Which the Jets have
back
won.
On the Rich Eisen show. Hey, everybody. headline. Tampa, Florida, soundbite of the year. Pete Fairbanks blows the save two nights ago against the Los Angeles Angels, soon to be the California Angels once again.
Really?
Three hits, two walks, two runs, two in the ninth. The Rays lose. And it leads to, honestly, I cannot imagine a better soundbite. Nothing's going to get topped quite like this soundbite from the closer of the Rays.
Is it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific?
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of sulk, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Pete Fairbanks.
Fantastic.
My new favorite baseball player in Major League Baseball.
Well done.
I like that.
All encompassing.
Let me tell you something. Any fantasy team that does not do well,
just write that down real quick.
After a month's time in fantasy, doesn't matter the sport. that's got to be your new name. You got to change it up. It's all-encompassing suck. What a great, I mean, is that the greatest or what? Pete Fairbanks, I salute you, sir. Rich Eisen Consulting needs you on board, right?
A plus. It was also the eyes.
It was the thousand-yard stare
hair.
He had. Like
he was also. You generally feel like he's not BSing you right there. He is really distraught.
He's perplexed,
and he doesn't know what's wrong.
But he also knows as a closer, you gotta turn the page.
Like
you gotta back out.
He's 16 more minutes.
By the way, that's another one. 16 minutes of sulk.
It's 9:44 now,
right? Now that's a band name or an album
that
name.
That is a band name. That is a 90s
16
like,
minutes
garage,
of sulk
alt something or other.
Is that what
yeah,
it is?
Yeah.
Jason, would you agree? 16 minutes of sulk would be an album or a band or something like that, or
that'd
what?
That'd be a great album.
Actually, that was an album by The Offspring back in 1994.
Right. Blink-182.
Or is that the tour name?
Ooh,
16 Minutes of Sulk.
Good one.
There it is.
Like just
this guy, man.
Where is he looking
Pete
right now?
Pete Fairbanks. Into the abyss. That's what he's looking at. He's got the thousand-yard, all-encompassing suck stare.
I don't know,
the hair is perfect. The eyes are perfect.
Everything about it.
Honestly. From soup to nut, all-encompassing, greatest soundbite of the year. We have it. It's not even the NFL draft yet. There's a whole bunch of time the rest of the year. 100%. This is your clubhouse leader for soundbite of the year. Presentation, syntax, delivery, heart, soul, all of it. This is what you're looking for. No cliches.
No. And the follow-up question, like, is it film? Or what are you watching? He's like, yeah,
you
man.
You tell me.
I wish I knew.
You tell me. Yeah. 16 more minutes of sulk, and then we'll get back on the bump. Fantastic. All of it. Pete Fairbanks.
Well done, Pete.
Hopefully
you bounce back.
We hardly have seen your work, but your work, sir, is just top-notch. New fans here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Go buy his baseball card.
Dulé Hill coming up in hour number three.
I mean,
not great.
He's got a 9 ERA on the year, so yeah, he's got to be searching.
Well, I mean, an all-encompassing suck. Unbelievable. So that was awesome. I mean, that was really great from the heart. Send that one to Mike McDaniel and see if he can.
All right.
Punch up the script a little bit. That's how funny it was.
I mean, no notes. Drop that in a post-gamer.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke from the heart.
Yankees getting back at it after having lost a series. Oh, he's next up against the Yanks.
Yeah, they're playing the race.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him tonight.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I don't want to see him tonight. That means they've got the lead in Yankee Stadium.
Right. You don't want to see him. But you do want to see him just to see how he responds.
How are your Mets doing?
Answers? They're hot. They're on hot.
They're on a hot streak.
Hot, yeah.
Hot. 10-8.
Hey,
The polar bear Pete Alonso was a POW last week. Player of the week.
Is that right?
Yeah, buddy.
Okay,
let's go.
Very good.
0-5 start. Turn to the round.
Okay, so here's our agenda for hour number three. Yep. Okay, Dulé Hill. Have a great conversation with him. What's more likely? Have a great what's more likely that finishes with Chris Brockman delivering the hot take he's had about his Celtics. He's been cultivating this for a month.
He's
got to do it. We got to get it. And then an update on yesterday's cookie conundrum.
Huh?
Careful. I almost got a spit take from TJ. Careful. Oh, we got a lot of housekeeping to do. An almost literal by cleaning up your workspace.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.